This morning, we are going to begin a series of messages that I've been thinking about and praying about for some time now. And as I sat down this week and started to prepare, I kind of wondered what I had got myself into. Because a number of years ago, we began a study in the book of Revelation, and we began that study by looking at the churches of Revelation. And then I kind of felt led to go into the rest of the book, and it was an overwhelming task. And as we look at the second half of Daniel here for the next few weeks, Jennifer said, "How many sermons are you going to have in Daniel?" And I said, "Till we're done." So I don't know how long it's going to be here. But this is a challenging set of scripture. And so I would encourage you over the next several weeks to take the last half of Daniel and to use that as an opportunity for you to just study it yourself, read ahead a little bit so that you know what we're going to be looking at. Next week, the plan would be to look at chapter 8. And so read ahead a little bit. Get a Bible commentary and learn what you can, because there's a lot of things here in this that, I'm going to be honest, are hard for me to understand. I don't have all the answers when it comes to what this book says. But I think this series of messages is going to be important for us. I'm calling this series The Most High Rules, because I think sometimes, even as Christians, we forget that. You know, with what we've gone through as a nation, as a world, over the last year plus, we've wondered, I think, where is God in all this? And the reality is that God is where He's always been and where He always will be. And we must not lose faith, and we must not lose focus on the fact that in spite of what might be going on around us, that God indeed, He is in control. Can I hear an amen to that this morning? He is in control. As I was thinking about this series of messages, the book of Daniel, of course, it as we get to the second half of it, it's looking forward. It's looking to what might happen in the end times. A number of years ago, it was Fall Folk Festival weekend, and I'm not sure why. It must have been before I declared that I was not leaving my home, not leaving the Ridge on Fall Folk Festival weekend. But we were in McConnellsburg, and I don't know if Noah was in a parade or what was going on, but somehow we ended up at McDonald's after the parade. And as we were sitting there eating, there were people coming in and going out, and traffic was terrible on Main Street, and people were cutting around and back and forth. And there was this older lady that often was in McDonald's at that time. I think she's passed away now. And as we're sitting there eating, she made this statement about Fall Folk Festival weekend in McConnellsburg. She said, "You'd think it was the end of the world." And we just kind of giggled at that because, you know, if McConnellsburg and Fall Folk Festival weekend is the end of the world, well, then that's not exactly how I have it pictured in God's Word. But it was a statement that has always stuck with us. And every now and then when we get in traffic and it's busy or something's going on and it seems crazy, we kind of look at each other and we say, "You'd think it was the end of the world." But with all joking aside, we are privileged in God's Word to have a couple of different situations where authors and writers write about the end of the world and what it might look like and what it might be like. And to a lot of people, they look at the book of Revelation, they look at the second part of Daniel, and they just seem like it's far-fetched. But I think as we live, and the longer we live, we can see bits and pieces of God's plan for the future kind of playing out. And that's one of the reasons why I want to look at the second half of the book of Daniel, because I think as we live and as time goes along, we see bits and pieces of His plan for the world playing out. And I think it's important as Christians that we have our eyes open, that we pay attention to what those things might look like. We look at the book of Daniel, and we look at the book of Daniel written by Daniel, written around 536 BC, written by this exile, written by this young man who lives in Babylon till he's old, until he dies. but written from his perspective and his experiences. And we love the book of Daniel because we love those familiar stories. You know, in chapter 1, we read about Daniel and his friends and how they purposed in their heart to not eat that food that had been offered up to idols. In chapter 2, we read about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that's where he has a dream. And we're going to look at a little bit of that this morning because the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2 is similar to the dream and the vision that Daniel has in chapter 7. We think about chapter 3, and that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery furnace. And we love in that passage how, as those three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth person in the fiery furnace that looked like the Son of God. And we're just overwhelmed and amazed by the stories in the book of Daniel. Chapter 4, we read more about Nebuchadnezzar, and that's where he didn't humble himself to God, and he ended up out in the field eating like a cow. And then he does humble himself, and he does declare Daniel's God to be the God, the one and only, the true God. In chapter 5, we read about the handwriting on the wall. A new king has taken over. Nebuchadnezzar has died. Belshazzar takes over. And Belshazzar, he's stolen the items of worship out of the temple. And he has this great feast, and they're drinking out of the cups of the temple. And there's handwriting on the wall that the kingdom of Babylon will fall. And it falls that very night. And then in chapter 6, probably most of us, our favorite story from the book of Daniel, and that's, of course, Daniel in the lion's den. Chuck Swindoll writes, and he says that chapters 1 through 6 are the historical section. And in that historical section, Daniel is interpreting the dreams of others. But then we get to chapter 7. And chapter 7 is the prophetic section. In chapter 7, an angel was going to interpret Daniel's dreams. You know, as we look at chapters 1 through 6, we're amazed that God gives Daniel the ability to interpret these dreams and to tell the kings what it is that they're experiencing and what it is they're going through. We get to chapter 7, and we're going to see it today. Daniel's going to see things. He's going to experience things, and he doesn't have the answers. Kind of, we feel like that sometimes too. Even as we read God's Word, and we don't always have the answers. And so we pray and we ask for clarity and wisdom that we might get more answers about what the Word of God says. Chuck Swindoll says, as we get to chapter 7, we leave the relatively simple narrative and biographical sections to enter more difficult and mysterious portions of prophecy. And like I said, there's stuff in here that's hard for us to understand. And there's pieces of this that we might leave here and not have understanding about. But I want you to remember that this series of messages is called The Most High Rules. And that's the most important takeaway from all this. That regardless of what, as Scott said a little bit ago, regardless of what the world looks like around us as it's falling apart, that God is still in control in all these things. This morning, as we go through this message, we're going to look at one particular verse here as we conclude. And the message series is called The Most High Rules, but I also want you as the Christian to not get worn out by what's going on in the world around us. We read chapter 7, and we're going to see here that Daniel was troubled by what he experienced and what he went through. And you and I, we feel troubled. We feel terrified at times about things going on around us. But God's Word would want us to be reminded of the fact that we shouldn't get worn out because God, indeed, He is in control. As I said, we're going to be looking at chapter 7 today, and as we do that, we're going to read bits and pieces here of Daniel's vision or Daniel's dream. Chuck Swindoll, he put together a great commentary or a Bible study on the book of Daniel, and it was in two pieces. And in volume 2, it's called God's Plan for the Future. He shares this chart that you see on the screen. And what this chart does is it compares the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and the vision of Daniel. And really where chapter 7 would fit is it would fit in between chapters 4 and 5, because in chapter 4, that's the end of Nebuchadnezzar's rule. And then as we get into chapter 5, that's the beginning of Belshazzar's rule. And if you look at Daniel chapter 7 verse 1, we read kind of the timeline here for Daniel's dream. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. And what we're going to see today in this dream is we're going to see that Daniel is going to dream about four different kingdoms. And I know as you look at the chart up there, you see, well, there's five, and that's true. But the fourth kingdom is actually divided into parts. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. If you remember that from chapter 2, we're not going to go back there today. That's another reason for you to look at the book of Daniel over the next few weeks. But in chapter 2, if you go back there, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was about this great statue. And this great statue was broken into different pieces, from the golden head down to the iron and clay feet and toes. And each section of that great statue represented a different kingdom. Today, we're going to read in the book of Daniel that in Daniel's vision, he saw all these strange creatures, these strange animals, these strange beasts. But the commonality, the thing that connects these two dreams or these two visions, are that each of these beasts, each of these pieces of the statue, that they represent a different kingdom. The first kingdom is Babylon. The second kingdom is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The third kingdom is the kingdom of Greece. The fourth is Rome. And from the Roman kingdom, then, we're going to talk about these Western nations. And hopefully in a minute I'll be able to share with you something that'll make sense of how Rome and the Western nations are really kind of combined into one kingdom. But Daniel, as he has this vision, he's terrified. He's frightened by it. And if we think about this vision and we consider it, we can see why. If we would have had this dream, if we would have had this vision, we would have been terrified too. We're going to look at Daniel's vision in three parts today. The first part is going to be the visions of the four beasts. The second part will be the little horn. And the third part will be the Ancient of Days. Because in spite of all the terror, in spite of all the difficulty that Daniel has in this vision, we're reminded that the Most High rules. Let's look at verse 2 now. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, the second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. That was Daniel's vision. That's what he saw. Now let's go to verse 15. In verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Just think back to what we read there in verses 2 through 7. Would we not identify with what Daniel just said there? That he said that he was grieved in his spirit, he was grieved within his body, and the visions had troubled him. Had we had this dream, we would have been troubled too. In verse 16, I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four, are four kings which arise out of the earth. As we get into verses 15 through 17, Daniel, troubled by this dream, he needs answers. And in this vision, he is taken into heaven where he is able to talk to an angel. Some believe it was the angel Gabriel, and get some explanation and some answers about what's happening here. Now, here's what Bible commentators tell us. People that have spent far more time studying the book of Daniel than I have. The first beast was a winged lion. And this first beast represented the kingdom of Babylon. That's the kingdom that Daniel was drug out of his home, drug out of Jerusalem, and drug into Babylon. And he served there under Nebuchadnezzar. He served there then under Belshazzar. And that kingdom fell in 539 B.C. The kingdom of Babylon was strong and powerful, but it fell. Then in his vision, he saw a lopsided bear, and that kingdom represented the Medes and the Persians. And this is the kingdom that Daniel would serve when he was thrown in the lion's den. This kingdom was led by Darius, and this kingdom was even greater, and it included much more land area than Babylon did, but this kingdom, it fell about 330 B.C. The third thing that Daniel saw was a four-headed leopard, and this kingdom represented the Greek Empire. And the Greek Empire was really kind of organized in city-states, but then along came Alexander the Great, and Alexander the Great was one of the most powerful military leaders of that era, and he combined the Greek Empire, and then Alexander the Great, who had done wonderful and fantastic things, died from a fever, and his kingdom fell apart after him, and it fell to the Romans in 146 B.C. And then this last beast that Daniel talks about, this terrible beast that had 10 horns, and in a minute we're going to talk about it having a little horn, it represented the kingdom of Rome. And of all four, Rome became even greater. And it became the most powerful empire that anybody had seen up until that point. Falling apart, the original Roman Empire falling apart in the 400s A.D. Reginald Chowers, who actually was with the Friends of Israel, who came here from time to time and shared about biblical prophecy and the nation of Israel. And he wrote a book about this, and this is how he explains this terrible beast, this fourth kingdom that really kind of is going to be a fifth kingdom as well. He says the Roman Empire would experience three stages of history. First, the beast stage. And that would be the Roman Empire that we read about in the history books. The beast stage is the Roman Empire that existed up until the 400s. Second, the ten horn or the kingdom stage. Church, this has not yet come. There is coming a time, there is coming a day when in that area of the world, in Europe and in Western Asia, that there are going to be 10 kingdoms rise up. And we haven't seen that yet. That's part of God's plan for the future. But then there's also going to be a third stage. This third stage is going to be the little horn or the Antichrist stage. That's something else that we have not yet seen. That's something else that is part of God's plan for the future, God's plan for history to come. Daniel had this vision. He had this vision in the night as he laid on his bed, and he didn't know what it was all about. And so he went, in his dream, in his vision, he goes to this angel and he says, "Explain it for me." And the explanation is troubling him, it's terrifying him. And we haven't even seen yet all the vision, because all we have seen is this reality that, Daniel, you have lived through one of these beast stage. You have lived through the winged lion or the Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, but there are more and there are worse to come as we go forward. And then there's this little horn. And Warren Wiersbe calls this the kingdom of Satan. Let's go back now and let's look at verse 8 in chapter 7. Because we got to that beast with the 10 horns. And then in verse 8, Daniel said, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I want us to see, and we're going to skip through some different verses here, but I want us to see the descriptions of this little horn. You have this beast that had 10 horns, and then we read here that this little horn rises up, and this little horn roots out three of the nations, three of the horns, and then look at what it says there in verse 8. It says that this one had the eyes of a man and had a mouth that spoke pompous words. Now let's look at verse 11. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. There's some hope in that verse, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I want you to see here again how this little horn is described, how this kingdom of Satan is described. It's one that has the sound of pompous words. In verse 20, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than all its fellows. Again, what are we hearing about this little horn? But it's loud and it's mouthy and it's pompous. It's greater than all of those others. It's a little horn, but it roots out three, and its appearance was greater than the 10. Now look at verse 25. We understand more and more why Daniel was so terrified. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. There we see that not only will this little horn, not only will this kingdom of Satan be loud and mouthy and pompous, but he will direct his pomposity toward the Most High, toward our God. And he shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Who was Daniel but a saint of God? And as he had this dream, as he had this vision, the reality of this vision was that he saw this one who was loud and mouthy and pompous and directed those words toward the Most High God. But he also saw in this vision that the children of God, that the saints of God, that they would fall under the dominion of this one little horn as well. We see that the saints are going to be persecuted, that they're going to be oppressed on every side, that this little horn wants to change the time and the law, and God's word says that the saints are going to be given over to his hand. It's no wonder that Daniel was terrified by this vision, by this dream. Hold your place here in Daniel and go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians, because in 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes about this little horn that we're reading about here in Daniel. If you look at John's vision in the book of Revelation, you see similar descriptions of what we're seeing here today. This kingdom of Satan is really represented by the person of Antichrist, and that's who we think about when we think about the end times. Daniel doesn't use that term. That's the term that we've associated with the kingdom of Satan. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And that's why we would say that we think it's the end of the world, because we see this falling away. Church, I don't know if we're in the end times or not. This is what I do know. I do know that if you back up 100 years ago and you could interview people 100 years ago at the time of another great pandemic, at the end of a great war that wasn't even called a world war because they didn't know another one was coming, if you would have talked to those people, they would have said, you think it was the end of the world. But this is what I know. I know that the Most High rules. I know that God is in control. And even though we see this falling away taking place, we need to remember that that's part of His plan. Just like these kingdoms were supposed to rise and fall in Daniel's dream, God's plan is still in place. It's still at work, and we are waiting on Him to fulfill that plan. And in that time, you and I need to be in the Word of God. We need to seek His direction for our lives and trust Him whatever comes our way. Paul goes on and he says, unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This is that little horn that we're reading about there in the book of Daniel. And in spite of people that we might look at in society today who we would identify as, well, that person is the Antichrist, or in spite of the fact in times past when people pointed out that this person or that person was the Antichrist, I don't think that the Antichrist has yet come. Now, there's a spirit of Antichrist that's in our world today. That would be the spirit of Satan that's around us in the world today. And we need to be careful that we don't fall for those lies and we don't fall for that deception, because the spirit of Antichrist is among us today, and that's why we see the falling away. In verse 4, the son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There you see that the pompous nature of this little horn that's going to rise up. Daniel was terrified by what he saw, by what he read. You and I, as Christians, as readers of the book, we could get terrified very easily about what the future holds. We could get terrified as we read about the descriptions here in the book of Daniel, or as we read about the descriptions in the book of Revelation. But this is why I love God's Word so much. Because in spite of the things in here that would terrify Daniel, in spite of the things in here that might terrify us, there is good news in God's Word everywhere you look. And the good news in God's Word, the good news in Daniel's dream, is that he, while he has that vision of him being in heaven, he gets to see the Ancient of Days. Warren Wiersbe says he gets to see the kingdom of Christ. Chuck Swindoll says one day God will open the books of judgment and will rain down judgment and decimate the terrible beast. We've got to remember that God wins. Regardless of what we read in this book, regardless of what might terrify us, regardless of what might make us wonder about what the future holds, we've got to remember that God wins, that He's victorious. In Daniel 7, verse 9, after Daniel's dream, the vision of the kingdoms, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. And if this is a movie, this is where the music would start to, I think the word's crescendo. Is that the right word? It would start to build. Because as Daniel is coming off this vision of was that the right word, Ben? Crescendo? Okay, thank you. I just remember you were sitting there. All right. But as Daniel has this vision about the four kingdoms, then he's in heaven, and I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days, he's referring to the God of heaven, was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. And that's the picture that we have of heaven. The picture that we have of heaven is all the saints who are going to be worshiping the Lord God. And as Daniel has this terrified dream, now he begins to see that God rules, God reigns. He's going to win. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. God's hand of judgment is about to come down. And it's not just going to come down on the sinners of this world, but it's going to come down on the kingdom of Satan. Verse 11, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. Isn't it amazing that even as the devil was about to be destroyed, that he's still running off to the flaps, he's still running off at the mouth, he's still cursing the Lord on high, and he's about to get squished. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, and here this is even greater because last week we talked about the resurrection. We talked about Jesus being alive, and here now, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Then all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel had a terrifying vision. But in the midst of that vision, he saw the slaying of that beast. He saw the slaying of that little pompous horn who had taken over, seemingly had taken over the world. He saw the hand of God's judgment came down upon him, and then he sees Jesus. One like the Son of Man. And that one is given dominion and glory. That one will allow for the saints, for his saints, to serve him in an everlasting dominion, an everlasting kingdom. And Warren Wiersbe points out that unlike the previous four kingdoms, unlike Babylon, unlike Persia, unlike Greece, unlike Rome, and that extended Roman Empire, unlike the kingdom of Antichrist, the kingdom of the one who looked like this, a Son of Man, would be an eternal kingdom that would rule and reign forever and ever. As we close this morning, we're talking about the fact that Daniel had this terrifying dream. But we've got to remember that the Most High, that the Lord God on high, He rules and He reigns and He will win ultimately. And the thing I want to encourage you with today is that you and I shouldn't get worn out. And we'll look at a verse of Scripture here where we're going to see that that's what the kingdom of Satan is trying to do to the church today, to Christians today. The kingdom of Satan is trying to wear us out. And we got to remember, our God reigns. We sang that last Sunday. Our God reigns. Warren Wiersbe, the phrase wear out the saints describes Antichrist's continual oppression of God's people and his blasphemous words against the Lord and his people. Church, the reality is if you're a saved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be around for the kingdom of Antichrist because I believe that you're going to be pulled on out of here if you're still alive. You're going to be raptured away. But as I said a little bit ago, we've got to be aware of the fact that while the Antichrist is not here, the spirit of Antichrist is among us, and that's what's attempting to wear us down and to take our focus off the fact that God's in control. Look at the final words that Daniel wrote at the end of chapter 7 in verse 28. He says, "This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me. My countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." Daniel's seen this vision. He's had the explanation from the angel, but yet he's still not quite sure about all of it. He says that his thoughts were troubled. He says that my countenance changed. Some translation says that my face became pale. And why is that? Look at verse 21. "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them." Have you ever felt like that today, church? Have you ever felt like that the kingdom of Satan is prevailing against us as Christians, as believers? That's why I said the spirit of Antichrist is among us today, because there are times as the saints of God, we really feel beaten up. We feel like what Daniel wrote there, that the little horn is waging war against us and prevailing. In verse 24, "The ten horns are the ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High." Don't we get frustrated that there are so many people that have so much bad to say about the God of heaven? There are so many people who absolutely refuse to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, put in a tomb but raised to life again. Don't we get frustrated by that because of all those pompous words that people speak and people share? "He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time." And we feel like we're living through some of that right now. Even though the Antichrist has not yet come, we feel like we're living through some of that right now, where we're facing that persecution, we're facing that oppression. We feel like we're getting worn out. But church, let's be reminded. Verse 26. Y'all know one of my favorite words in God's Word, right? It's "but." Church, in spite of what we're living through right now, in spite of what we're going through, in spite of the visions that Daniel had, there's that word, "but." "But the court shall be seated. They shall take away his dominion." Whose dominion is that? The dominion of the little horn, the dominion of the Antichrist. "To consume and to destroy it forever." God's going to win, and he's going to win big. Because that spirit of the Antichrist that I keep talking about, that I think we see in the world around us today, the kingdom of Antichrist that is yet to come, when the court is seated, God is going to destroy it once for all and forever. "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High." You know who else is going to win in all this? The saved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're going to be part of a kingdom that's forever and eternal, where we will worship the Lord God on high. Look at the rest of the verse. "His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Daniel had every reason to be troubled by his dream. There's no doubt about that. He had every reason to be troubled by his dream. Just as if we had this dream, we would be troubled. But we got to remember the other pictures that are in here. It's not just the picture of the beast. It's not just the picture of those terrible kingdoms. But it's the picture that the Most High rules. The Life Application Study Bible says that although God may allow persecution to continue for a while, the destiny of his followers, you and me, is to possess the kingdom and to be with him forever and ever. And for that, we shouldn't be terrified, but we should be excited. Excited that while persecution may be among us, we are reminded of who really rules. It's not the kingdoms of this world. It's not the kingdom of Satan. But it's the kingdom of the Most High God. For He rules and He reigns. Amen and hallelujah. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word that You've given us today. And Lord, I don't know why You laid this series of messages on my heart, except maybe perhaps to offer up some hope and encouragement to downtrodden saints. As we think about Daniel himself, he was a downtrodden saint because he was taken from his home and placed in a land of captivity. But there in that land of captivity, Lord, You gave him the opportunity to serve You. And Lord, I pray that You might give Your servants that same opportunity and that same chance. As we feel like we're living in an age right now where we're being oppressed on every side, where we're being torn down by the pompous words of others who have that spirit of Antichrist among them, Lord, give us opportunity like Daniel to proclaim that You rule and that You reign. Lord, as we continue in this series of messages, we're going to continue to read about those visions and those things that You allowed Daniel to see. Help us not to focus on the terrifying part, but help us to focus on the exciting part, the reminder that You will rule and You will reign. Lord, may those words help us as Your people to not be worn down, but to be lifted up by Your power and by Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that these words might help us to catch a glimpse of what is to come, not just the terrifying, but a glimpse of the glorified kingdom that Jesus will come back to establish on this earth, that all of His saints might be a part of, where we will have an eternity to worship Him and to give Him praise for all that He's done for us. Lord, I pray Your words this morning might speak to our hearts and remind us that yes, indeed, You are in control, You rule in Your reign, and for that we give You glory, and in Your name we pray. Amen.